There's a subtle connection between this first reading from Genesis about the creation of human beings and this thing about Jesus and the little kids. It's not as clear in this version, the two creation stories in the first three chapters of Genesis, as it is in the other creation story. But the point that's being made is that men and women are equal. Men and women are equal. And if you read the fall story, wherein the result of their lying to each other, then women become subordinate to men. But that's clearly a distortion. Okay, so now we get to little kids. The Gospels are certainly not written for, by, or for the most part, about little kids. They're written for adults. So we have to read this in an adult fashion. I mean, so often in the past, at least when I was growing up in the church, that you were enjoined, like Pius X said, to pray, pay, and obey. Which basically to be infantilized. But then what I'm getting at was expressed in a remarkable metaphor by Pius XI, who said, the body of Christ has become a monstrosity with an enormous head and a shrunken body. Unfortunately, his successor, Pius XII, made the head even bigger. And that process, except for a wonderful hiatus under John the 23rd, who said we must shake the dust of Constantine off, which has settled on the church, namely an imperial model of the church. Except for that, those wonderful years when John was pope, the head has got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and continues to do so. But what is there about little kids then that is admirable? Well, I got all my three sons when they were not little bitty. Well, Andre was 10 and Marcelo 7, so I've never seen little bitty kids, but I see my grandkids. I've been around enough little kids. I even taught grade school for a while. And the thing that strikes me about little kids is their sense of fairness. I mean, the most damning thing that a little kid can say, that's not fair. All kinds of other things about little kids, their sense of wonder, which easily gets squashed, unfortunately. Their kind of innate move to trust, unless they're betrayed, which regularly happens. But it's just little kids see each other as equals. In the egalitarian sense, it seems to be inherent in little kids. Granted, sometimes they think their equal part is bigger than it ought to be, but nevertheless, I think the impulse is still there and firmly in place. It's not fair. It's not fair. You love her more than you love me. You gave him a bigger piece of pie than you gave to me. Okay, so what does this have to do with us? You'll notice that never in any of the instructions that Jesus gives to the disciples or to anybody else, does Jesus propose a kind of double standard of holiness, of morality, of goodness, of religiosity? There is not a caste system in the church. There is not to be, I should say, a caste system in the church. The call to holiness is universal. And the same for everybody. And this is where Pius XI's warning still seems very apposite to me. Because in fact, the ecclesiastical culture in which I grew precisely postulated a double standard of goodness, of holiness. You know? But there should not be. There should not be. Not according to Jesus' view of things. If the whole end of Jesus' mission is the establishment of the kingdom of God, where we can all stand naked and unashamed with each other and before each other, then there cannot be a double standard. There must not be. But in fact, there is, for all kinds of historical reasons. And that's why John the 23rd, very aware as he had to battle the Curia to call the council, and they fought him tooth and nail all the way, was very aware that the size of the head must be diminished. And even the whole business of what it is to be head needs to be redefined. Fascinating in the gospel, the only time Jesus does make distinctions as to virtue is when he talks about leadership. The one who wants to be first must be the servant of all. That's the only distinction that he makes. It's often said that the church is not a democracy. Well, the implication by people who make that claim, usually very vigorously, is that therefore it's a monarchy, which is rubbish. The church is not a monarchy or an autocracy. The church is supposed to be a community of equals. And this was a problem right from the beginning. We find in the Gospel of Matthew, written around 85, that already some people in this Jesus movement were starting to throw their weight around. And so Matthew has Jesus saying, don't call anybody father. Don't call anybody teacher. You're all equals. And the best scholarship suggests that Matthew created that little story precisely in the face of this emergent hierarchizing of relationships. There are different tasks in the church, as there are different tasks in a family. There are people to do different jobs, to be attentive to the tradition, for example, to protect the church and the purity of its faith. But I propose to you, when you look at the church today, it doesn't look like the people of God. It doesn't look like a community of equals. The saddest thing that I have heard in the wake of Bishop Lahey's arrest was an interview on the CBC. They were talking to some lady from the diocese, Antigone. She's leaving the church. Well, there are all kinds of reasons for leaving the church. Some good, some bad. But what frustrated me is she's leaving the church because she thought that this man was supposed to be holier than she. That's clearly the supposition. And that argues to the wrongheadedness of the culture of so much of the church. We're supposed to be able to trust each other and to be trusted by each other. And that's not the way it works. And I, to my embarrassment, have to admit that although I believe this deeply and I try to act on it, interesting thing happened this week at King's at the end of class on Thursday. I was coming up stairs, and who did I run into but the Bishop of London, Ontario, Ronald Favreau, coming out of the student lounge. I was amazed and appalled at the inner reflex, the drawing in, the protection I had to erect myself. Now what's he going to bitch about? That's wrong. Maybe he wasn't going to bitch about it. As a matter of fact, he smiled. He was pleasant enough. But that's, I think, the interior landscape that I have in regard to the hierarchy. And it should not be. There is no caste system in the church. There is no double standard of holiness. There's just a bunch of different people struggling to do a particular job to build up the body of Christ.